Today on Real Life Radio.
Prayer is the only source of communication, and I like to put it this way, to high command. The command center, heaven, where God is. I'm down here. I need help. I'm in a battle. We're all in a battle. God is enthroned in heaven. The Bible over and over again says to us, God's enthroned in heaven above. Listen, the source of all that we need for communication is this link of prayer.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 9, continues his series called The Why Series. The desire to pray is knowing that God loves us and is always there for us. It's prayer that develops within us the loving character of Jesus and our own capacity to love and care for others. Previously, we learned about the power of prayer, how we can pray in many different ways for any situation in life. We also saw how praying in the Spirit is available to every believer. It's God the Holy Spirit talking to God the Father on our behalf. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that as believers in Christ, we are to be people of prayer, to live and to move in an attitude of prayer, knowing that God is our source and our high commander who always comes through for us. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 9, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So here's the deal. I'm going to ask you to get out your notes. If you were here with us a long time ago now, it seems like forever, jumping right back into the Why series. And if you take the time to go back and look, there's all of these different arguments regarding the Why series. For example, why is there a heaven? Why is there a hell? Why is there sin? Why is there gender confusion when the Bible speaks about these things? Why sex and sexuality? We went through all of these different things to equip you as a believer. And so now looking at the continued work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I'm going to ask you to take notes and to hang on to those. So first of all, by way of introduction to this, previously we were talking about prayer, the Holy Spirit in your life, and we talked about what it meant to pray in the Holy Spirit. Does anybody remember that? Tell the truth. Nobody. Do you? Really? Praying in the Holy Spirit. We graduated to that point, and it was thrilling to learn, and we even shared. I think I got pretty personal with you to tell you how I pray. And even when teaching the Bible, it's a strange thing to say, but I said it, and it's true to any Bible teacher. They know what I'm talking about. But there's times when the Spirit of God is moving where I'll be teaching you on a Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever, and I'm just going along. I can hear myself. I understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, but at the exact same time, I'm actually praying, and it's a sound or words that I don't even know what they are in my head. And you say, are you insane? And I know it sounds insane until you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It is a supernatural blessing that God gives to every believer to be able to pray in the Spirit. It is not the gift of tongues. That's limited to some people. But prayer in the Holy Spirit is given to all. It's up to us to go get alone and to pray accordingly. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit as a believer? So in Romans chapter 8, by way of foundation, Romans 8, verses 26 to 27. Follow along with me on this. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Say amen to that. Amen. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps you where you're weak. Woo! I need that. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That is so true. How many times have you gone to prayer and you kind of hit a block wall? You've got tons of stuff to complain about, but when you go to prayer, you stop. I can't think of anything right now. Well, pretend you're complaining and you'll remember everything. Very interesting, isn't it? That's a little hint to you that prayer is a spiritual work. It's not native to the human heart. So we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or articulated. In other words, the Holy Spirit, strange thing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit in you, the believer, remember we learned on Sunday, the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, that when the Spirit of God speaks to the Father for you, the origin is the Spirit of God dwelling inside the believer. Speaking to God, the Father, for what? On my behalf. Half. Why? Intercession. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is talking to God the Father in the most perfect way for my life. That's the word intercession. Intercessory prayer. We've all heard about it. But have you ever thought for a moment that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us? Remarkable. How can we lose? How can we fret? How can we be off guard when such a thing is happening? Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That is power. Christian, tonight I want you to focus on the fact that as we walk in the Spirit, it is all based upon the fact that the Spirit of God knows all of our weaknesses, and he knows how to strengthen us as he speaks to the Father for your benefit. We walk in the Spirit because the Spirit of God is praying on our behalf. Remarkable thing. God the Holy Spirit speaking to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue or an unknown language, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's what I said a moment ago. The human mind doesn't get what the heart and the spirit is crying out in prayer regarding this type of relationship. Verse 15, what is the conclusion then, says Paul the Apostle? I will pray with the spirit. Notice it's lowercase s. I will pray with my human spirit, the born again me. I don't understand what's being said, but I'll pray in the spirit. By the way, that's alone. Y'all, do you remember that? You don't do that publicly. It doesn't need an interpretation. It's alone. That's very important. And I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Very remarkable. So mark this down. Prayer is the only operational mode. Please mark this. Prayer is the only operational mode for our spiritual life. As a Christian, prayer is my operational setting, our mode. As a believer, we are to be a people, listen, that are rigged, set, programmed to be a people of prayer. Now, the first thing I want to say about that is you and I have been conditioned, I think, by Satan to get us not to pray. That prayer, even though it is work, it is something that we always feel inadequate of doing. We're always distracted. You know this is true. Go to prayer. And if you go to prayer, you're going to remember things that you don't even care about. If you decide to pray, you don't even have a pot roast in the oven, but you're going to swear you do. You haven't changed your oil in your car for years, but the moment you go to prayer, Satan will say, don't you have to change your oil now? Very strange. Our mode of living as a believer, the Holy Spirit will drive you in this area of operational prayer, which means we live, breathe, and move in prayer. You don't have to go to your knees. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to lift your hands. You move in that mode. Please say amen. You got that? We move in that mode. We are just a people of prayer. And don't ever forget the picture of what I'm going to just simply say to you. Are you breathing? Yes. I was going to say, take a deep breath in and blow out real hard, but let's pretend we're taking this huge deep breath and we let it all out and you say, well, what's the big deal? I'm breathing. And I want you to remember as a believer, that's how prayer is for us. You just like, you might be mowing the lawn, you might be driving the car, you might be working out a problem. And it's that attitude of life, it's that mode where it's, Lord, you know what? Help me get this. I don't know. I can't get this answer. Or Lord, you know, as I'm mowing the lawn right now and I'm not, you gotta help me with my job. Just an attitude mode of prayer will walk us over to living in the Spirit. Number two, the Bible encourages us that in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So number two, prayer is the only source of communication, and I like to put it this way, to high command. So what do you mean? High command, the command center, heaven, where God is. I'm down here. I need help. I'm in a battle. We're all in a battle. God is enthroned in heaven. The Bible over and over again says to us, God's enthroned in heaven above. Listen, the source of all that we need for communication is this link of prayer. God looked down from heaven. We cry out and pray. Peter's in a storm and the waves are raging, and the shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. By the way, the Bible says that when you pray, keep your words few and short before God. Isn't that great? You ever been to a prayer meeting and somebody doesn't pray at home ever? And they go to a prayer meeting and then they pray forever, hogging the prayer meeting? What is that? When somebody prays long at a prayer meeting, it means they don't pray at home. Boom. Pray, short prayers. And Peter is walking on water, remember? And he gets his eyes off the Lord and he starts to sink and he says, Lord, help. Greatest prayer. Lord, help. Churches in California are saying tonight, Lord, help. And he hears operational mode, source of communication to high command. God looks down from heaven. The Bible tells us in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words, the Bible, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What an awesome, awesome truth. God's word. That is foundational to where we're heading tonight. Number three, prayer is the only spiritual adhesive that binds to us the weaponry of God. We love to talk about the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We all love that stuff. But when you read the book of Ephesians, where the battle gear is listed for the believer, we often forget that right down around verse 18, it's all put on and kept on by prayer. It's all put on and kept by prayer. We love swinging a sword around. Woo! Sword of the Spirit, look at that thing. If you're not a praying people, you'll cut yourself with it. You'll mess up. You bind it together in prayer. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's 6:10. But if you drop down to Ephesians 6:18, it says that we're to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. What a tremendous truth that is. So listen, I'm going to read you a big chunk of scripture, and it's going to be our points for tonight. Are you ready for this? You might want to mark it down or turn to the book of Daniel chapter 6, because not only is it our study tonight, it just so happens that it's our life tonight. It's the life that we're living, Daniel 6. Daniel 6. Daniel 6, verse 1. While you're turning, I'll be reading. And so it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. Satraps were a form of governors. You know what? For our argument, they're like lieutenant governors. How's that? That's a good word. To be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, wow, of whom Daniel was one, that the lieutenant governors might give an account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. In other words, run the empire. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and lieutenant governors because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Wow. So no doubt jealousy is born in the hearts of the others. Watch what happens. So the governors and the lieutenant governors sought to find some charge to bring against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and lieutenant governors thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever." You know, all that stuff. "You're awesome, king. You're the best in the whole world. We love you." All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the lieutenant governors, the counselors, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Verse 9. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Verse 10. Now remember, Daniel is no doubt hearing all of this. Now, Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and he, in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days, since he was a kid. Daniel hears the decree. It's against the law to pray now. Daniel hears it, he goes home. 3 times a day since he was a kid, opens up the windows, prays to Yahweh, the God of the Bible. Remarkable, awesome. Daniel, a political leader representing God, a lover of God, in a high place, one breath away from running the entire realm of the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire, goes home to pray, violates a capital law, capital offense. You'll die if you break it. Daniel must have decided it's better to obey God at that moment than man. And so the scriptures tell us that since he was a kid, verse 11, having prayed, he's praying 3 times a day, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. In other words, they were peeping through his window, no doubt, and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree and said, "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah," so that Daniel the Jew, "does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words," watch this, "was greatly distressed within himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." The king loved Daniel. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." Don't you not like these guys? What a bunch of little rats. Right? Verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." Who said that, church? The king, a pagan king. That's how awesome Daniel's witness was. Daniel's witness was so awesome that the unbelieving pagan king was convinced that your God will protect you. He saw the character of life in the man, and so he concluded that his God is great. Christian, you and I walking in the Spirit of God, the world around us needs to see the power of God in our lives. But it cannot happen unless we are in that mode of prayer, the source is from God, and that what you and I are doing in our lives is that we're living a real Christian life of witness and power. And Daniel is a perfect example for our day and age. We love the law. The Bible tells us to love the law, but when there's unjust laws, we don't hate anybody and we don't want to endanger anybody. But when something is against the law of God, we've got to mitigate that. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. It's not defiance. There's a God in heaven who's issued a decree. Oh, but man has issued his. Yes, and listen, that is true and that is good until that decree of man, no pun intended, you know the word Trump, where did that come from anyway? It was even before Donald Trump, Trump. You know what the word Trump means? The laws of man stand until God trumps those laws. And God reserves that power. He reserves that. And Daniel's practicing that. And even the king is blown away by that and blessed by it. It's amazing. Verse 17, then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with the signets of his lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his place and spent the night fasting. Wow. And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning. Could you imagine? And no doubt makes haste. He runs down there to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions so that they did not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. And you could bet that king went, and I know that, and I'm going to go have a meeting right now with my staff. And that's exactly what he's going to do. God came through. In the impossible moment, Daniel was condemned, but God in righteousness kept him. We need to remember that today. When we walk in the Spirit, it means that we're living a life that is being led by God. Our responsibility is simply to keep that communication link before the Lord. Our good friend Marty Goetz sings that beautiful psalm out of Psalm 46, and he sings in there, what is the Lord want of me, and it is simply this, to keep my spirit clean. What a beautiful word that is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 9. Thanks for being here today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 9, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. A series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God and the Bible for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, when you think about it, it's amazing just how much God really loves us and protects us. When we choose to surrender our lives to Him, even in our darkest hour, we can have the confidence that God is there for us. That's why it's so important to spend time in God's Word, to pray, and to just listen to what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say to us. And devotional time is indeed one way that we can do this. Simply head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com. You'll get weekly devotions, and once you're there, you'll see how Pastor Jack takes a verse from the Bible and makes it personal. It's something that we can prayerfully read and apply to our daily lives. Pastor Jack also has made available his previous devotions, so you've got plenty to choose from for every day of the week. Soon, you'll be immersed in the Bible and writing your own personal account of what that verse means to you. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.